This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica Governance Committee. The date is January 15th, 2026, and it is 8:35 p.m. on the East Coast. So I've called the meeting to order. Carol, would you mind calling the roll?
Yes. Kaja Brown. I'll come back. Jan Goodman.
I'm here.
Jan Goodman is here. Julie Hewitt.
I'm here.
Julie Hewitt is here. Zach Caldvier asked for an excused absence. Marianne Martinez asked for an excused absence. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Serene is present. Susan Young.
Present.
Susan is present. I'm Carol Wolfley. I am non-voting secretary present.
All right.
We have quorum.
Thank you. So the next item on the agenda is approving the agenda. This is a 3-minute item. I will run through the, at least at the high level, what the items are. Number 4 is reviewing minutes from November 2025 meeting. Number 5 is a report from the PMB chair. That's a 30-minute item. And there's a draft motion that comes with that one, which will get read at that time. Number 6 is a governance committee chair report. That's a 10-minute item. And I will take care of that one. It does not have a motion associated with it. Number 7 is unfinished business. That is a motion from Serene Roberts from a prior meeting. And number 8 is adjourn at a time certain of 9:45 p.m. Eastern time or earlier.
Move approval.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the agenda?
I have a request.
Go ahead, Serene. What's the request?
What's the total number of minutes that you've just listed?
1, 3, 6, 7, 37, 47, 50, and we started a few minutes late.
Okay, I would like to amend the unfinished business 3 minutes to 5 minutes, please.
5 minutes. Are there any objections to amending to 5 minutes?
No.
I'm seeing lots of head shaking now, so we'll consider that amendment approved. Are there any objections to the agenda as amended?
No.
Hearing none, we'll continue with the agenda as amended. So then the next item is reviewing the minutes from the November 2025 meeting. That's a 1-minute item, and the minutes are the draft minutes are at the bottom of the email to all the committee members. Does anyone have any corrections that they think should be made to those minutes?
I just need to abstain. I didn't get a chance to read them.
Okay. Can you note that Serene abstained, Carol?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I did.
So I didn't hear any corrections to the minutes, so unless someone objects quickly, we'll consider those minutes approved with just Serene's abstention.
All right. No objection.
Cooking with gas then. So the next item is the 30-minute item, and this is the report from the PNB chair, and I will turn it over to you, Susan.
Wonderful. Okay. So what I suggest we do here is to consider and adopt a recommendation to the PNB for procedure to fill a PNB vacancy. The 2025 bylaws sever the relationship between the LSBs and the PNB. So when there is a vacancy on the PNB elects somebody to that vacancy who is from the same station and fills the same class seat. And at the LSB, That's up to LSBs to figure out how to do. They have to have same class. We have, I think, possibly pending a couple of resignations. This is not one, but Dennis Williams alerted us to the fact that he termed out on the LSB, but that did not term him out on the PNB, and he is continuing to serve. So his vacancy will be filled at the PNB, but his vacancy will not be considered at, I mean, it will be filled at the LSB, but his vacancy will not be considered at the PNB. There may be one or more of those that come up this year, where the person will opt to not stay on the PNB. And so what I thought it would be useful would be to have to sort of walk through what a procedure might look like that we can discuss and move forward to the PNB if we wish. Draft, I move that the following be referred to the PNB for adoption. Resolution to establish a procedure to fill a vacancy on the Pacifica National Board. PNB director resignations must be submitted to the Secretary of the Pacifica National Board. After a let me suggest that needs to be a resignation or a term out. After a resignation or term out is received by the Secretary, an email is sent to the board members announcing the resignation or term and the opening of nominations for filling the vacancy. The election for filling the vacancy will be added to the agenda for the next PNB meeting with an announcement of those who have been nominated by email and an opportunity for further nominations from the floor. Nominees will have an opportunity to speak for 2 minutes. Those nominated must be eligible based on membership, class, and station requirements stipulated in the 2025 bylaws. An OPA vote ballot will be created and sent to all current PNB members present at the meeting, excluding the person who has resigned or been termed out. The OPA vote ballots must be received by 11 p.m. Eastern Time on the day of the election to be counted. The results of the election will be reported to the PNB and to the new member by the PNB secretary by email. The newly elected director will be introduced and added to the roll call at the next PNB meeting. An election may be held to fill more than one vacancy, but candidates are nominated for a designated position, and each position is voted on separately. In committee, so we don't need a second.
Right, go ahead, Jan. I see your hand.
I would like to amend that paragraph 5.
Okay.
To take out excluding the person who has resigned. So it reads an open vote ballot will be created and sent to all current PNB members present at the meeting unless the person has actually termed out, unless the person has actually termed out. There's no reason for someone who is resigning not to vote for the person taking their place since they haven't resigned yet. And if they've termed out, that's one thing, but if they haven't termed out, they're still a member of the board and they could still there's no reason that they shouldn't vote.
Point of order.
Yeah, hang on. I see two hands. You're making a point of order. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, I believe, Jan, that when they resign, they send the letter saying they resign or they are termed out. That constitutes the resignation. So then they're no longer on the board. Robert's Rules of Order stipulates. So I think we need to check that. I can try and look it up right now, but I believe Robert's Rules of Order stipulates that a person that the election is for the people who are still on the board.
Well, may I speak?
Jan, Serene's hand is up. So,
can I clarify?
Is this about the point of order?
Yes.
Go ahead.
If a person hasn't, a person can send in a letter of resignation saying, I resign, as of the date that somebody is elected to take my place so that they can stay on the board until, so it depends on what their resignation letter says. If they say, I've resigned, that's one thing. But if they say, as some people say, my resignation will be effective as of the date that a person is seated to take my place, then they can vote if they resign as of whenever. That's, so it depends on how they, what their resignation letter says.
Thanks. Serene, I see your hand.
Yeah, thanks. So I know we can't make multiple. Well, let me ask, since this is a 5, 6, 7 part motion, are we making amendments to each section separately?
I would argue is, what would be best is if we stick to, because the amendment that, Jan just suggested was to, item numbered 5, that we stick to number 5 first and see if we can't resolve that. And then, you know, then we can entertain amendments to the other ones. Unless, of course, you think somehow there's some reason that, like, you might wish to make an amendment and it's related to what Jan said, but it's an amendment to another part of this. I don't know if that's what you're thinking or not.
No, I'm fine with just raising my concern about number 5 at this point. I just wanted to be sure about the process we were using. We're going to deal with each of these separately if there are changes to be made. That's fine.
I think that makes the most sense. Go ahead with your point on number 5.
With regard to number 5, there are a couple of things that I find concerning. This election would take place, let's say, because Marianne Martinez has resigned. I don't know why she's asking for an excused absence. She resigned from all LSB and PNB boards and committees yesterday. So I don't know why she's marked as an excused absence at this meeting. But at any rate, when you resign, you don't get to choose your replacement. So that that amendment, you know, what I'm not the Robert's Rules expert. I guess somebody will go look for that. But that doesn't seem right to me. We can't be voting for a replacement unless there is a vacancy, and the vacancy occurs because someone has resigned. And if they've resigned, they don't have a vote. So no, you can't choose your replacement. I'm also concerned that the open vote ballot is being sent only to the people who are present at the meeting. This is a change for the PNB. Most of the boards, but absolutely every PNB, has always allowed the voting for officer positions, affiliate directors, et cetera, you know, open to all directors, whether or not present at the meeting. So this double restriction of only the people at the meeting and then only the people who are able to vote by 11 p.m. on the day of the meeting, that's an unnecessary restriction. If someone can't make a meeting for some reason, they should not be silenced on something as long-lasting as the position of a director. So I would want to remove that 11 p.m. restriction and remove the ballot going only to the people who are at the meeting. It should go to every director, and we should be afforded, I don't know, maybe even a week. People are busy, and we only meet once a month, so it's not as though, you know, there's some urgent matter that has to be resolved within the next X number of hours. Why are we locking things down like that?
Okay, so how I read what you just suggested as an amendment is, you would delete the clause present at the meeting. That's part of it. And then
And 11 p.m. On the day of the election.
And the 11 o'clock and would restriction.
You, so I didn't follow exactly what you wanted to do with that last sentence.
Allow a week for all the directors, except for the person who has resigned. Allow a week for people to get their ballots in. My battery's gone.
Okay. Allow a week for ballots, and then so your amendment would also we didn't vote on Jan's, but yours would
be opposed change. To Jan.
Yes, it's the opposite, basically.
No, Van.
Well, no, because Jan said that people who hadn't turned out could continue to vote, and you're saying it doesn't matter whether they turned out or resigned; they can't vote.
Can I clarify?
Right, people who should. We should keep excluding the person who has resigned. So I object to removing it, as Jan suggested. And then I want the further changes of allowing all directors, all remaining directors to vote, and the time restriction.
So hang on. So I'm... I've got this straight in my head now, and on the paper. So whereas Jan would have added, unless the person has actually turned out.
I would add, unless the person has actually turned out, or their resignation has been activated already.
Okay.
So I agree that if somebody has actually resigned, they shouldn't vote. But if they've resigned, like if I say, okay, I'm resigning after November 1st, that I can vote, you know, and the election is on October 1st, I could still vote because I'd still be a member.
How about if the way we word Jan's is, unless the person is actually turned out or their resignation is already effective?
Yes.
How's that work? Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. So what Serene would do is, and so then Jan would also remove the rest of it, the excluding part, and Serene's motion would, go back to, the way it read originally. So,
point of order.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I believe that this is in pieces. So I think the first thing is, do we vote for or against Jan's motion to amend? If it's against, then it conforms to what Serene wants. She basically.
So technically under Robert's rules, what you're supposed to do is vote on the Second Amendment first, and then it passes or fails, and then you vote on the First Amendment. What I think we really should do is take Shireen's motion and take out the part that's do the opposite of what Jan's was going to do, and just leave the rest, Shireen, if you don't mind, and then we can vote on that up or down, right? And that amendment either passes or doesn't, and then we go to the vote on Jan's. And either it passes or fails, right? But the same thing winds up being accomplished either way. Does that make sense, Serene?
Well, I have a question. We would have to vote on mine first, and mine leaves in the language excluding the person who has resigned, because I don't, you know, someone is either on the board or they're not on the board. And when they resign, they resign. This thing about, oh, I'm going to resign at such and such. It just, we don't want to allow opportunities for manipulation, right? And I'm not, you know, just keep it simple. You're on the board or you're not on the board. But okay. When you tender your resignation, it is effective when you tender your resignation.
No, that's not true.
Okay, so hang on.
Excuse me.
Carol was going to make a point, and then I put my hand up before, but apparently I've been waving my hand. It's so.
And my
Julie, hand. Will you go first, and Susan, and then I'll follow.
And my hand is still up, or is up again.
So the point I was going to make was I don't have a resignation from Marianne. So as the PNB secretary, and so technically speaking, Marianne hasn't resigned from the PNB unless she sends whatever she sent that you saw, Serene, unless she sends it to me as the PNB secretary. So that's the sense in which I think there is, you know, and I'll be honest, I have been in enough meetings where someone takes umbrage at something someone else says, and they just, you know, like throw their hands up in the air, and that's like the last straw from them. And they say, you know, that's it. I quit. You know, and sometimes people follow through with an email and sometimes people don't. And I think one of the things we need to do is to make sure that, you know, we're not getting the heat of the moment resignation, that we're getting, you know, the actual resignation. And so that's one way to make sure that somebody sends a resignation in writing. You know, that's the one way to make it effective, because then that gives us the record as opposed to a he said, she said kind of situation where, no, I heard so-and-so say they resigned, you know, okay. So that was what I wanted to say. And then, Carol,
I can go ahead. Yeah. So, I just wanted to say a couple things. One of the issues that has come up is that often, let's say somebody resigns, then the secretary sends out a notice and says, before the next meeting, let's say, so-and-so resigned, we will now open nominations between now and the meeting, and please notify the secretary if there's a nomination, or there may be more nominations on the floor at the next meeting. So what that allows is a possibility for a period of nominations where people can process and check in and see where they are, where you still have the expediency of not having to wait two meetings to, you know, because people don't have time to maybe scramble together and nominate before the next meeting. Is that clear what I'm saying? So that if you have somebody who is resigning between and they send it to the secretary sends out the notice, you can nominate now or nominate at the meeting. So then it's set up at the meeting for the election to happen. So you have a consistency of participation on the board. I want to speak to one other thing. Well, no, I won't say it yet on the other issue, because let's stay on this one first.
Okay. So I see Serene, then Jan, then Susan. Go ahead, Serene. Or,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, are you? Is it my turn?
I think that's Serene. The one you're allowed to see, right?
Okay. Go ahead, Jan.
Okay. So, what I'm proposing to say, first of all, I want to address the question of if you resigned, you know, you resigned. That is not necessarily true. If people resign as of a certain future date so that boards can plan ahead, they can make plans, a resignation does not take place automatically as of the day if somebody says, I'm planning to resign. You know, I could say I'm planning to resign as at the end of this year. Doesn't mean that I'm no longer going to be active during the year. So the way I propose to change this is an OPA vote ballot will be created and sent to all current PNB members present at the I agree to take out that present at the meeting part. I personally agree that. But the not discussing that, but the point that I raise is excluding persons whose resignations are effective as of the date of the vote. So if it's, you know, if your resignation is already effective, then you don't vote. If you, it's not effective yet, then you do vote. So you're still a member until your effective date. So it, would that satisfy everybody? And then we could agree on that. And then we can talk about whether or not you need to vote on the day of the election.
Susan, would you like to concern? Yes, I'd sort of like to, and I'm, you know, a little confused about sequence and so forth. I'd like to be able to vote on the question, several questions. One, is it at the meeting? Is it if a person's at the meeting or not? Two, does there need to be a longer period of time for closing the vote? And three, what changes will be made to the whole thing about timing of, I mean, who can vote or not vote for their replacement?
So why don't we have three different votes?
I'm okay with that.
So hang on. I think the right thing to do here is to vote on Serene's motion. Serene's motion, as she made it, includes basically overriding what Jan proposed as the amendment, but it is the case that because we vote on Serene's motion first, it could pass, which means we stick to that original language for that one part, but then we would then move to Jan's motion and it too could pass, which would mean, you know, Jan's motion. So we don't know until we take the votes, but it's possible that it could work out, you know, in a multiplicity of ways, right? Or it could be that Serene's passes and Jan's doesn't, right? And or it could be that Serene's doesn't pass and Jan's passes, or Serene's doesn't pass and Jan's doesn't. So all the options are out there. So I think we should just,
I'm in favor of two parts of Serene's motion. I'm in favor of letting everybody vote and having the vote last for a week. Yeah. I'm in favor of that, those two things. And the other thing is a different thing. So that's my proposal. And I don't see why, I mean, it makes it much more complicated if you pile them on top of each other. But, you know, we just have three separate votes. We can do it very quickly.
So there are.
One, do you have to be at the meeting? Two, how long do you have to vote? Three.
Okay.
Three, is your resignation effective or not effective?
Okay. What I would need to do it that way would be a motion to separate.
I move that we separate.
Okay.
The three.
Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I would like us to vote specifically on whether someone gets to vote on their replacement.
Jan's motion to separate, which I have to say I tend to support because it's starting to get confusing because there's basically three parts and people can vote on, you know, people don't necessarily have to feel the same way about, you know, the different parts that are part of, Serene's motion. And so this allows each of them to get an up or down vote. So in that case, then let's start with, all three of them. Let's see what comes first. Just as in the order that the motion was written, Serene said that she would delete the phrase present at the meeting. So are there any objections to the motion to amend item 5 by deleting present at the meeting? All right. Hearing none, that passes. Okay.
Point. I just want to make one point, and it's a little after the fact because I know it passed. I just want to acknowledge the fact that this is not in alignment with Robert's Rules of Order. However, that being said, a standing resolution by the board can override Robert's Rules of Order.
Okay.
So
right, and so that's a good reminder, Carol. Standing motion can override.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is not in alignment? What is not in alignment with Robert's rules?
It's my understanding that in an election, Serene, that you're supposed that it is those present in voting based on those acknowledged by the quorum in an election. It's my understanding that it's not in alignment with Robert's Rules of Order. However, as I said, it can be overruled.
And I will just remind everyone.
By the national board.
Yeah, yeah. And I will just remind everyone that we're the governance committee voting on this. The point is we will send whatever it is that we wind up with to the PMB for consideration at its next meeting. Okay, so thank you, Carol, for that. So present at the meeting is deleted. That amendment passed without objection. So then just going in the order, Serene's motion next would leave.
A week.
Okay.
A week
would leave the, unless the person, no, I'm sorry, would leave it as excluding the person who has resigned or termed out, would leave that part in there. So if you vote for the second part of Serene's motion, you're voting to leave it the way it was originally worded. Okay, so are there...
And the alternate...
So here's the problem. The alternate is Jan's motion.
So you can vote for either Jan's motion or the way it is. And what I'm proposing is to say excluding persons whose resignations are effective as of the date of the vote.
I'm a little lost in how to record this.
Let me just pause everyone. Thanks. Here's the problem that's confusing me is that in separating these and then just tackling them in order, what we're winding up doing is not fully considering Serene's motion first, because Serene's that part of Serene's motion is sort of we haven't voted on Jan's amendment. So it almost doesn't make sense to vote on that part of Serene's motion, because at the moment we haven't voted on Jan's motion. So it does still read excluding the person who has resigned or termed out, meaning they can't vote. So in effect, that's the thing I'm having trouble with, you know. So the third part of Serene's motion. So what I'd like to do is say in effect that the second part of Serene's motion doesn't actually make sense at the moment. The third part, which is the part about it would change the last sentence to say the OPA vote ballots must be received by 11 p.m. Eastern time on the day 1 week later. Because Serene wanted not to close balloting at the date of the meeting, but to give people a full week to vote.
Can we make it 11:59 p.m. Eastern time as of the date of, you know, a week later? Just because people always think of midnight as being the cutoff date time.
Yep.
So yes, let's just all agree that 11:59 p.m. makes sense. Okay. So now let's vote on this part of Serene's motion, right? So it would change that last sentence to say the OPA vote ballots must be received by 11:59 p.m. Eastern time on the day 1 week later.
Seven days after the day of the meeting.
That is tighter. Serene, is that okay? 7 days after the day of the meeting?
Is it 7 days from the day of the meeting as opposed to 7 days after the day of the meeting, which would be the Friday?
Let me just say, I'm going to vote no on this. So the fine tuning about that, I think it depends on what, Julie's vote. I think it'll be either 3-1 or 2-2.
I'm not
following you there.
Could I ask Serene what you're proposing in your motion?
Yes. Go ahead, Serene.
Seven days from the day of the meeting, because 7 days from that Thursday would be the following Thursday, as opposed to 7 days from the day after the meeting, which would be the following Friday.
Okay. So I think we now know what Serene's, this last amendment says. And are there any objections to?
Yeah, I object.
Yeah, okay, so you object.
Can I understand the objection?
I can just object. I think it is a very simple election. People will have had a lot of notice in advance. I think it's important to get it done. And I think that people will have been able to put forward their nominees. We should be able to get it done that night.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because we're taking nominations from the floor on the night of the meeting. So while many names might have been put in before, we might hear a name for the first time that night.
So to Serene, I'm going to vote no. I'm going to vote no. So let's just go forward with the vote. We'll disagree.
I'm not trying to change your vote. I'm trying to explain why it's not nearly as simple as you're presenting it.
I'm voting no.
Go ahead, Carol.
Point of order.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Serene, to make it clear, I'm wondering if you might want to edit it to say, to be counted, the OPA vote ballots must be received by 11 p.m. Eastern time, 7 days from the date of the meeting.
Oh, my God.
You see, otherwise it doesn't make sense to have to be counted is at the end, and it doesn't make sense to have to be counted there.
I'm not actually looking at the wording. I don't care where you insert it. The meaning is that the person gets from the Thursday that we might be hearing a name for the first time until the following Thursday, 11:59 Eastern to p.m. to cast their vote. So
yes.
The person.
So I'll read it one last time to see if you're okay with it. To be counted, the OPA vote ballots must be received by 11 p.m. Eastern time, 7 days from the date of the meeting.
Yeah, are you saying 11:59? Because you're fading out right where we get to that.
Oh, I said 11. You want 11:59?
Yeah,
I heard you.
I thought Jen's point that 11:59 is generally what we see on our voting things. So we should just be consistent so as to not confuse people.
I'm just trying to get it right.
Yeah. You might have only said 11, but in my ears, I heard 11:59 just because. Anyway. Okay. So that's what the third part of Serene's amendment is. And so, I believe I asked if there were any objections and Susan objected. And so, that means we have to go to, a vote. Carol, will you
So just for clarity, we already passed the first one, and this is the second vote we're taking for an amendment, and then we will be voting on the whole thing. Is that correct?
No, no. Then we'll be done effectively with Serene's motions to amend, which we separated.
Then we'll be done with number five.
No, 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 because we haven't voted on Jan's amendment. Right. So we've, okay. Because you start with the Second Amendment first. And then once we have clarity on the direction we're taking with Serene's separated two motions to amend, then we vote on Jan's motion to amend, and then we vote on the full motion. Okay.
Okay. Just so, hold on a second, please. And
yes.
Pasting stuff in to get it clear.
And so this,
sorry, Julie,
this,
then we'll be done with number five, right? Not with the full.
Then
number.
We'll be done with number five. Correct.
Okay.
So, and we're going to start to run out of time here soon.
Okay. Jan Goodman. Yes.
Oh.
On the amendment or no?
Yes.
Julie Hewitt. Yes. On the amendment or no?
Can I pass?
Julie passes. Serene Roberts, yes or no on the amendment?
Yes.
Serene, yes. Susan Young, yes or no on the amendment?
No.
Susan, no. Coming back to you, Julie, yes or no on the amendment? Julie, I can't hear you.
I know you can't hear me because I didn't say how I was voting yet.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion passes.
Okay. Okay. So now number five is amended to, this is what it reads so far. It reads, an OPA vote ballot will be created and sent to all current PNB members, excluding the person who has resigned or termed out. To be counted, the OPA vote ballots must be received by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 days from the date of the meeting. That's how it currently reads. Okay. As amended by the vote we just took on Serene's amendments. And so now we're voting on Jan's amendment. And Jan's amendment would change the early part of that sentence. It would still say an OPA vote ballot will be created and sent to all current PNB members. But then it would say, unless the person
has actually termed out.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jan.
I actually have I put it in the. In the text,
so,
and I've just create and I've just.
So it's in the chat, so I can read the chat. An OPA vote ballot will be created and sent to all current PNB members.
Actually, I just corrected it. Read my second one because I just had a little.
And sent to all current PNB members.
Oh.
Excluding persons whose resignations are effective or who are termed out as of the date of the vote. The OPA vote ballots must be received. The same sentence at the end, be counted, the OPA vote ballots must be received. So Jan would, as I said, replace, the clause that says excluding the person has resigned or termed out with excluding persons whose resignations are effective or who have termed out as of the date of the vote. So the key distinction there, I think, is that the way Serene or the way the original motion was worded, it did not allow someone, in effect, to
It didn't take into account.
Set a future resignation date, right? Whereas right. this, Jan's motion excludes only the people whose resignations are already effective or who are termed out. So right. if, so it doesn't exclude people who, have an effective, a later effective date of their resignation. I resign on March 31st or effective March 31st. You can vote up until March 31st. Right. Okay. So that's
point of,
Jan's
point
motion.
Of order.
Yes. Go ahead. Carol,
could you, so I don't have access to the chat. Could you please read it slowly, the amendment?
What I can do, even better, if it would help, is email it to you.
Okay.
Will you also send it to me? I'm also on by phone.
Yeah. Hang on one second.
But Jan, could you, while she's doing that, could you just read it one more time?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just changing the wording. It says, excluding persons whose resignations are effective or who are termed out as of the date of the vote. That's
excluding
the only...
persons whose
resignations are effective.
Okay. I just sent the email.
Okay.
Or who are termed out as of the date of the vote.
Right. So the original one excluded the person regardless of the effective date of their resignation. Jan's amendment allows the possibility that you can set a future resignation date and then it matters whether that future resignation date has passed or not as to whether you can vote. Are there any objections to, Jan, your hand's up. Do you need to speak?
No, in fact, I don't need to speak.
Okay. Serene, your hand's up. Do you wish to speak?
I do. I think that gives an opportunity for manipulation, and it's just not a way that we need to spend our time. I think if someone has said, first of all, if someone has termed off, they're termed off. We don't have to say they can't vote. They're termed off. And if someone has resigned, the idea of being able, I mean, self-selection in the extreme, you're literally choosing your replacement. That aside from whatever Robert's rules, I think Carol had said that she thinks there's a citation about that. I just think that that's not a good smell for us. You know, you're leaving the board. You're leaving the board. You shouldn't be voting on your replacement.
Thanks. Okay. I'm going to lower your hand. We don't have any hands up.
Okay. My hand is up. Hello.
Oh, go ahead, Jan.
I don't see, I think that I disagree with the premise of the fact that once you decide you're leaving the board, that you have nothing more to do with being on the board. People leave the board for many reasons, and they time their leaving for many reasons, and there's no theoretical reason that you shouldn't vote on the person who is going to replace you. It's just a matter of what we decide is appropriate. And if somebody is resigning but their resignation is for some future date, why shouldn't they have the ability to vote on their replacement? This is not a revolutionary thought. People resign at future moments and they continue to be active on boards until their resignation is effective. It's not like once you have the thought that you're going to resign or it's going to be near that you like all of a sudden don't have the best interest of the corporation in your mind. you've experienced and so forth. Why shouldn't you have the ability to vote on your replacement, especially, you know, as I say, you know, if I say I'm going to resign as of the end of the year, there's, you know, 11 months of votes on people that, and many things. So I'm just, you know, so anyway, so I disagree, and it's, there's not some like, God didn't say, you know, whatever, if you believe in God. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
And Roberts doesn't speak to this issue, by the way.
I think we've exhausted, you know, what people have to say on this. So let's, are there any objections to, Jan's amendment?
Yes, I object. It still sounds like self-dealing to me.
Okay. Okay. Carol, will you take a vote, please?
Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Julie Hewitt, I can come back to you. Sorry, Julie. Serene Roberts.
No to a Jan's amendment.
Susan Young.
Pass.
Susan passes. Serene voted no. Julie Hewitt.
I'll vote yes.
Okay, Susan.
Abstain.
Okay.
Susan abstained. So we have two yes, one no, and an abstention.
Okay, so Jan's amendment passes too. Okay, so now the full motion, or I'm sorry, the full item number 5 now reads, an OPA vote ballot will be created and sent to all current PMB members, excluding persons whose resignations or are effective or who are termed out as of the date of the vote. To be counted, the OPA vote ballots must be received by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 days from the date of the meeting. So that's item number 5. Okay, that's what item number 5 reads like. I hesitate to say because we are starting to run out of time here, folks. Are there, Susan has your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to offer a suggestion. I think while these discussions in my mind are for me frustrating, I think they're very important, very valuable. Because this agenda was only in people's hands today, and because we're coming up close to the end of the agenda, I wonder if people could write back to the committee their recommendations for, you know, amendments to all of the other items for us to consider at our next meeting.
Okay, so then, so what that means is that we won't be putting this in front of the PMB in time for the, we can't vote this up or down this evening, completely. We have amended number 5. That much we've successfully done. If we take Susan's suggestion, then we won't be putting this forward to the PMB at the February meeting. Jan, go ahead.
I don't have any objection to any of the rest of this motion. And why don't we see if we have any objection? And if not, we can present this to the PNB. Why not?
Oh, maybe we could finish it this evening is what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
At least
let's see if we can finish it this evening. Are there any other amendments to the motion as currently amended?
Yes. Did you send me the new 5 as well?
I thought I did.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not looking at my email right now. I did have a question with regard to, so number 1 says send it to the secretary, and the secretary will then send it to the board. I think resignation should go to the board and secretary simultaneously.
Objection.
And then the secretary can go ahead and do the nominations thing. But there have been times when, for one reason or another, people have not always been able to, do not always receive things timely, do not distribute them timely, may miss them entirely depending on what else is happening in their lives. And I don't see any reason why a director should not say to his or her, their colleagues, hey, I'm leaving the board. I think that resignation should go to the full body. And by the way, I did forward Marianne's resignation to the board. But I would like it to go to the full body at the same time. I think, you know, we need to be open about things.
Can we get to, I have no objection to this amendment. Can we keep going with what the proposed amendments are?
So Serene, your amendment would basically collapse number one and number two by saying, in effect, PMB resignations or term outs must be submitted to the PMB, the Secretary of the Pacifica National Board and the PMB. Well, maybe not collapsing them, but number two, instead of including the part about the secretary sending an email to the board announcing the resignation, it would really be an email about opening the nominations for filling the vacancy.
Right.
Okay. I want to see if we can get somewhere. Do we need to talk about this, or let's just test the water and see if there are any objections to this amendment?
Go ahead, Jan. I just want to see if we could say director resignations must be submitted to the Secretary of the Pacifica National Board or the board or the.
No, absolutely.
What if somebody doesn't do one or the other?
Just get it done, Jan.
Okay, fine. Whatever you want. I don't care. Fine.
Well, okay. The secretary's on the PNB list, so it's one email, really.
Okay. Fine.
Could I have clarity about what we're talking about right now?
So the current amendment would add and the PMB to the end of this of number one.
Okay.
It would also delete
number two.
No. Announcing the resignation and. Oh, I'm sorry. Just the resignation and. So basically, number two is the secretary sends an email announcing the opening of nominations for filling the vacancy.
Can you say again what the change is, Julie? I'm so sorry. It's a little.
Yeah. All you do in number two is you strike out the resignation and.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So. Adding and the PMB to the end of item one and simultaneously striking the resignation and from item number two. Are there any objections to that amendment?
No.
Hearing none, we'll consider that amendment passed. So we have now covered items. We've covered now items one and five. So, Serene. One, two, and five. I'm sorry. That's right. Serene, do you have something you'd like to say now?
Number four, go ahead.
Number four,
can we do that for 5 minutes and include at least the opportunity for a question or two?
I have no objection to 5 minutes.
The people who are speaking.
How about 5 minutes, including questions?
What do we normally do for affiliate directors? 7 minutes? I mean, it's not like we're going to have 12 nominees, right?
Well, that's a good point. And unless we have multiple people resigning at the same time, we're more than likely to be filling one seat at a time. So nominees will have the opportunity to speak for 5 minutes.
How about to speak and or answer questions for 5 minutes?
Well, we don't want someone to just speak for 5 minutes without an opportunity to ask a question.
That's what I'm saying, speak and or answer questions.
Right, but I'm saying it should be and rather than and or.
Oh, okay.
You follow?
Fine, perfect. I agree.
Speak and answer, so insert and answer questions and also change the 2 to 5. All right. Are there any objections to Serene's motion to amend?
I do have a question.
Okay. You made the amendment, but go ahead.
I'm sorry?
I said you made the amendment, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't have a question about the amendment, but the second, the last part of that four is... it says requirements stipulated in the 2025 Pacifica bylaws. And I actually don't recall what that stipulation is. What are the requirements for directors according to the settlement bylaws?
So there are still seats on the PMB that are at least some of the seats that are designated, right? So, you know, there's a representative from each station. There's two representatives from the staff class. And this is on top of the PMB officers. And so if the vacancy is for, you know, the member from a particular station, the listener member from a particular station, then they must be replaced by a listener member from that station. Likewise, if it's staff, they must be replaced by someone from the staff class. So there are restrictions on the officers have to come from, the listener member class. If I remember correctly.
Right, but the new format for the board is not effective in 2026. It's still continuing as the 22 person board with the two affiliates, four station reps, et cetera. So the language with regard to how you choose officers and so on and so forth under the settlement bylaws is not applicable right now. We're talking here strictly about class and station. Correct?
Okay.
The transition bylaws are in effect, actually.
The transition bylaws are in effect. You're right. I spoke about what happens post the 2026 elections in 2027 and filling vacancies. But you're right. For the transition board, it's basically, I mean, it says in the transition section, I'm sorry, I should have said it this way in the first place. It says in the transition section that, you know, if it's a staff person from a particular station, they have to be replaced by a staff person from that particular station or listener member, right? Or affiliate. So that's, you know, so through 2026, that's the way we do the replacing. In 2027, it changes a little bit, right? Because then
but this motion isn't going to, well, 2027 will take care of itself.
Yeah, understood. Okay.
For people reading this now, I think rather than I think it needs to specifically state that the nominees must be
must match the resigning or replacement, or the nominee must match the class and station of the person being replaced. Correct?
Okay, so I understand what you're trying to say, Serene.
Let me just say, I think that's what the language already says.
That's what I was thinking.
Exactly that.
It says based on membership, class, and station requirements. I mean, then it says stipulated in the 2025 Pacifica bylaws. But for 2026, it basically says that exactly thing, right? And so The only thing that might be a little bit confusing is because it says membership. And so I think the idea there is someone has to be currently a member to be able to be
eligible. And for 1 year. Julie.
For 1 year. Yes. Here. Thank you. Right. You can't have just like, I bought my membership last week, pick me. You're right. So,
okay.
Yes.
No. So what I'm suggesting is that it should be that specific. So no one has to go hunting through the bylaws, to find that language. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when we say those nominated must be eligible, based on membership, class, and station requirements. I don't think we need to add as stipulated in the 2025 bylaws, or you could say specifically based on a membership of at least 1 year at their station and match the class of the resigning or whoever, the person who's leaving.
Point of order.
I don't know how many people.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't
go
know
ahead,
how many
Carol.
People.
Actually, point of personal privilege. I'm so sorry. I have to go because of my grandchildren. So, Susan has offered to help keep the minutes and Julie for the rest of the meeting. And, I wish you all well in resolving all these issues.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Carol. And we'll make sure we share with you, our subpar. Note-taking from here on out.
For yourself.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carol. Okay, so.
I just think we should make it as clear as possible for the average person who's going to read this exactly what it is we mean. So
okay,
if
those nominated.
If the person has... Go ahead.
Yeah. So let me try and make this part clear. So those nominated must be eligible based on membership of at least 1 year.
Membership at that station for at least 1 year. Because it's not network membership. It's membership at that station, correct?
Right.
Yes. For at least 1 year. Okay.
And match the class of the person they're replacing.
Match the class and station.
Well, we already said membership at that station.
Well, you need to make it clear that it's also.
Yeah. Okay. So I have it now. Those nominated must be eligible based on membership at that station for at least 1 year and match the class and station of the person being replaced. So that's what the second sentence of number four would read now.
Yeah, I'm not sure we need to say station twice.
Serene,
okay.
Let's just keep going.
Yeah. This is a problem with
committees writing things.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't hurt it to say it twice, even though it might be more.
Can we just get to more of Serene's proposed amendment?
Yeah. I read Serene's amendment to the second part of number four. Are there any objections to Serene's amendment to this?
No.
Hearing none, we will consider number four amended. So now we've done one through five.
Okay, for number six?
Go ahead.
You can correct the spelling of role in roll call.
Yes, I already did. Thank you.
Oh, well, they might be playing a role too. But I think that once the person has been elected, they should be considered seated immediately and be added to the list and treated as a director so that they're fully, well, as current as they can become in whatever period of time. That would be what, in the 3 weeks before the next meeting. I don't think they should show up at the meeting the next month not having had any of the communications that the rest of the board would have been having.
So why don't we... You can continue. I'm sorry, I was interrupting you.
As soon as the election results are known and distributed to the board, that person should be added to the list and be treated as a director.
How about added to the roster of directors?
Or the roll call?
No, I mean the mailing list. They should get onto the PNB mailing list and should get all board communications.
And I have no objection to any of that if we can work out what the wording is.
Yeah. Added to the PNB distribution list.
And treated as the director.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the formality of showing up.
Understood, Serene. Can we just agree on that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think we're... we don't need to, I agree, Serene. We don't really need to discuss it. I think it's pretty straightforward and I don't see anyone objection to this. So we don't need to discuss it, if there's no objection. To the PNB distribution list comes at the end of the first sentence.
And treated as a director?
Well, yes. The point is.
Well, how about we'll be,
Now I'm starting to lose patience, and part of the reason why is in between meetings, there's nothing that you do as a director outside of a meeting, right? And so if you're on the email list, you are treated as a director in a de facto kind of way. If we call another meeting, then you would be invited because you're on the PNB distribution list, and that's the point at which you would get to. So you get treated as a director. And so I think, you know, we could spend hours and hours wordsmithing this, but as I said,
we
past time certain. I'm also losing patience with this and treated as a director. Okay. I inserted it. Are there any objections to the motion? To amend number 6.
No.
Can I finish? Right. So what I'm suggesting.
I'm going to move to adjourn, Serene, if we can't get done with this, because this is endless.
Okay, Susan, you're a member of the committee. I'm a member of the committee. I'm speaking.
I move that we adjourn.
It's not finished. It's not finished. That's fine.
Serene, come on. It's like what you're doing. Honestly, is telling us a
now,
little
what
bit.
What I'm trying to say is that once that person is elected, they should be sent the NDA. They should be in the loop and getting material so that they show up to the meeting in 3 weeks, having a clue what's going on.
Okay, so treated as a director covers that. Do you have any
treated as a director?
Agree. Do you have any changes to number 7?
How about we'll be recognized as a member?
Hang on. I'm the chair. Hang on. Stop talking, Serene. What we're doing now is, are there any objections to amending number 6 to add the following wording? And added to the PNB distribution list and treated as a director.
And how about and recognized?
No, Chan.
Okay, fine. I don't care.
Can I suggest the words immediate effect? With immediate
the
feedback.
Results of the election will be and added to the PNB and treated as a director.
Immediately.
God, you people are awful.
Well, okay. You're never, ever going to get the person added to the PMB distribution list immediately. Okay. Are there any objections to these, to adding that text, including the word immediately? Hearing none, consider that one done.
I have a quick question about number 7.
Yes.
So are we using, what is that, IRV for, if we were to have more than one candidate for a seat, assuming we only have one resignation, and if we have two resignations, then we'd be using STV, correct?
We would need, so here's the thing.
I think at the moment, I think the bylaws actually address that question.
And at the moment, you know, because of the kind of class station, the only reason that you would ever wind up as if needing to do, you know, or even to contemplate doing STV. I mean, I think Jan's right. Mm-hmm. The bylaws are clear on this, but the only reason STV could even come into play is if you had multiple listener directors from the same station resigning at the same time.
Directors. Exactly. That could happen. 6 people walked out of DOJ the other day, right?
The bylaws can control this. It's not controlled by a motion of the PNB.
Right, right. And so each person, each vacancy will be filled on a sort of one-on-one basis, you know, person for person. And so candidates are nominated for each position, and each position is voted on separately. And that is what the bylaws say.
Except where there are multiple vacancies in the same class and station, which is why I'm raising the issue of STV, because that is not stated here.
I think it is stated in the bylaws.
Well, you know, we've got these new bylaws, and this applies here, this applies there. I just wanted to be clear to everyone reading, as I said, not everybody's going to go read through the whole new set of bylaws. Is there any
I'm not
harm?
I'm hearing a motion being made here. So
I didn't hear you.
I said, I'm not hearing a motion being made here. So I think we're at the point where we would vote on.
I move that we add that in the event that we have multiple vacancies in the same class at the same station, we would be using STV. I mean, if it's obvious, why don't we just really make it obvious to the average listener? Anybody home?
Yeah, hang on. Well, now it's important to read the bylaws and make sure that it doesn't.
I'm reading the bylaws right now.
I'm reading the bylaws too.
The way that this is crafted is that you're nominated for a particular slot. So you would be nominated for Jan's position, not for either of the positions that are available. That's the way this has been drafted. So it is IRV the way that it's been drafted.
Right, but it shouldn't be IRV unless there's only one vacancy. If there's multiple seats available, we should be using STV. I mean, Mariana's resigned. If by some weird chance, Susan, you were to resign next week, when the board meets, there would be 2 listener seats from KPFT, and we should be using STV to fill them.
May I say this?
Go ahead, Jan.
Why don't we say that if there is only one vacancy, and then just not even address whether there's 2 vacancies right now? We don't have to make this for all time.
Why would we?
Because the meeting is about to be over, and I want time to read the whole bylaws before I say one way or the other, because I thought that it said something, but I'm reading them, and the bylaws are long, so I'm just saying, in the event that there is only one vacancy, then blah, blah. And if there's more than one, we can look it up. But why don't
we get this done?
Oh, come on.
That's a good suggestion. Oh, no, Hang on, Serene. Hang on, Serene. You're not recognized. Jan makes a good point that I think one of the things we could do here and now is we could modify number 7 to say this applies in the event that there is one vacancy.
Per class, right.
And, you know, so instead of saying an election may be held to fill more than one vacancy, it says, you know, something like, this procedure applies so long as there is only one vacancy per class station.
Right.
But you guys wrote.
Hang on. Hang on, Serene. Then the thing that we can if we agree on this, maybe it's only 95% complete, but if we can agree on this, we can pass it, and then we can take the time as a committee, maybe an email, to draft the part that we think would work in the event of multiple vacancies. And if we can get that done, that something that the governance committee agrees on before the February whatever meeting it is, February, looks like it's going to be the 6th. Maybe I can't tell dates. Maybe it's the 5th. I don't remember. But at any rate, before our first meeting in February, or the first Thursday in February, if we can figure it out, then what can happen is if we pass this on the governance committee, it automatically goes on the agenda. And then someone can make a motion from the floor to say, let's just add this little tweak that makes it cover the what happens if there are multiple vacancies. And we'll just deal with that, you know, kind of instead of prolonging tonight's meeting, because I think everybody's starting to get. We set time certain of 9:45. And if you push your luck, someone will make a motion to adjourn, and then we'll just be done without accomplishing anything.
I would like to strike that last sentence that's in number 7 until, you know, you guys get a chance to look at the language in the new bylaws.
I move that we put we send this motion forward to the PNB with the clarification that it is for a single position in by class and station, and move forward with it.
Yeah, I agree.
So moved. Yeah. Jan Goodman, why don't we vote on it? So moved.
Hang on, I just want to say quickly, we can have multiple votes on the same day if we have one person from one member class station and a separate director from a different class. That's the sense in which the statement is still true. Candidates are nominated for a designated position, and each position is voted on separately. So, it could happen, and I don't think anybody can disagree with that, right? So, number 7 would read.
And so we're going to take a vote on this.
You're right, Serene. Okay. We have not solved the multiple candidates or multiple open seats in the same membership class station. But we're not going to solve that tonight because it's 9:59 p.m. Serene, I haven't recognized
her. So then you can vote no, Serene.
Yeah, exactly.
You haven't recognized her either, but you're only scolding me.
Okay, what I'm trying to do is point out that it is 10 p.m. and we said we were going to adjourn at 9:45. And so we didn't start 15 minutes late, so we need to finish this. How it reads now, this procedure applies so long as there is just one vacancy per station dash class combination. Candidates are nominated for a designated position and each position is voted on separately. And so that's how it reads now. Are there any objections to this amendment?
I object to number seven. I think it's incomplete.
Okay. Carol, will you take a vote? Okay.
Carol,
my name is Carol. Come on. Susan, how do you vote?
Yes.
Jan, how do you vote?
Yes.
Serene, how do you vote?
No.
Julie, how do you vote? Julie votes yes. There are three yeses and one no. The motion carries. The motion to amend carries. So we now have amended each of the seven items in this motion. And so now we have to vote on the whole kit and caboodle. In terms of, does it pass the governance committee, which is as amended, to go to the PMB? Are there any objections to sending basically this fully amended motion to the PMB?
I'll abstain, thanks.
Okay, Serena abstains, got it.
I vote yes.
Yes,
I don't object.
Yes, no, I'm okay. So if Serene abstains,
three yes, one abstain.
Yes, I'll just say three yes. Okay. So the motion carries and goes to the PMB, and we have exhausted our time. And so
motion to adjourn.
Yeah, let me just say quickly, we didn't get to the governance committee chair report. We didn't get to unfinished business, and we're adjourning 15 minutes late. Any objections to the motion?
Do we have a meeting time for the next meeting?
It's the same.
Yeah, I don't believe it's on the calendar, but we'll make sure that it gets on the calendar for, what is this, the third Thursday of the month, so in February. So it, let me not try and guess what the date is off the top of my head. Okay. Are there any objections to the motion to adjourn? Hearing none, we are adjourned at 10:02 p.m. Eastern Time. All right.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.